that some of the greatest moves of God are not orchestrated by what you would call people on the top, the educated folks, the credentialed folks, if you will, the high and mighty. I didn't want to use that, but oftentimes the greatest moves of God are simply orchestrated and achieved by willing people. People that are willing to step out and be used of God. People who are not afraid of taking a chance on God and stepping out in faith to see God do something awesome. Amen? And so this morning I'm going to ask you to turn to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, chapter 14. This story has been on my heart for a while now, and I just really feel the Lord has orchestrated this, because my message title is "Nothing Can Restrain the Lord." Amen? And so turn to 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 14, and in this passage, while you're turning there, I want you to understand and to notice some things. The children, oh man, we forgot our Bible. The children of Israel in this passage are outnumbered. They're outnumbered. Saul's army has been reduced. They are fearful. And worse than all of that, they are passive. They are passive. The reverse is their enemy is aggressive, and their enemy is entrenched. Their enemy is dug in. And yet, while the king sits under a pomegranate tree, God is about to move in an undeniable way through two people who simply believe that God can. So I want to remind you of three things that I want you to be on the lookout for as we read this. Number one, God does not need perfect conditions. God does not need perfect conditions. Number two, God doesn't need a crowd. God doesn't need a crowd. And number three, God responds to faith-filled obedience. Some people that'll just be obedient to Him. And I want you to remember that sometimes the greatest victories begin with a quiet decision to simply trust God. If you're there in 1 Samuel chapter 14, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read, it's a kind of a lengthy passage, but I won't keep you up very long. 15 verses, you can stand for that. If you can't, God bless you, you can stay seated. It's not going to be a problem. Now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison, and that is on the other side." But he did not tell his father. And Saul was sitting in the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which was in Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men. Ahijah, the son of Ahitab, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, was wearing an ephod. But the people did not know that Jonathan was gone. And between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and sharp rock on the other side. Now, get in your mind that we're not just talking about a rock that's sitting there. It's actually a ravine, a valley with rock cliffs on both sides. That's what's happening here. And the name of one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Cinema. Yeah, that's what it is. And the front of one faced northward opposite Mishmash, and the other southward toward Gibeah. And then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised, that it may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few." So his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you according to your heart." Then Jonathan said, "Very well, let us cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say thus to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say thus, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us." So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, "Look, the Hebrews are coming out of their holes where they have hidden." Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, "Come up to us, and we will show you something." And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel." And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan. And he came after him, and as he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. That first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within about half an acre of land. And there was trembling in the camp and in the field and among all the people. The garrison of the raiders also trembled, and the earth quaked, and so that it was a very great trembling. Father, we thank you for your word. What a great story of faith and courage, Lord, in these two men, Lord. And Father, I pray that somehow you would anoint me this morning, God, to be able to declare your word, to adequately preach this message, Lord, so that people understand, Lord, that whether it's by many or by a few, Lord, you can do great things. And so, Lord, I thank you for it. I pray your anointing to preach this. I pray your anointing for your people to receive it. And I give you in advance all the praise and the glory for it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. You may be seated. Some of these Old Testament stories are just great. They build our faith. You look and read through the Old Testament, and what you'll find is that through the Old Testament covers a time period of several thousand years, right? But yet, when you look in the New Testament covers one lifetime. It's an amazing thing. And these first three verses in our passage, I want you to see that there are things that we need to see that don't happen. Things that don't happen. Like for starters, Jonathan, he doesn't announce his plan. He doesn't announce his plan. He doesn't wait for approval. As a youth pastor, I remember one of my favorite sayings was that it's better to ask for forgiveness than to beg for permission. Jonathan kind of fits this mode. He doesn't announce his plan, he doesn't wait for approval, and he doesn't ask for a committee meeting. He knows what he's heard from God, and he begins to act on what he knows. The Philistines had sent this detachment of soldiers to establish a new outpost at the pass of Mishmash, and Jonathan saw nothing more than an opportunity to attack these and to see how the Lord would work. And so Saul here was hesitating in unbelief. Saul was scared. Saul was afraid. He didn't believe, and yet his son, Jonathan, was acting by faith. And faith often begins with the burden that God places quietly in one's heart. Don't disregard the quietness of the voice of God. Where's Saul at? Sitting under a tree. He's surrounded by religious people and religious symbols. And he's doing nothing. Yet he's the leader of the army of Israel. James chapter 2 and verse 17 says, "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Faith is accompanied by works. You cannot earn your salvation by serving and obeying God, but those actions do show that our commitment to God is real. If you're saved, your life ought to be producing fruit for the kingdom. Some deeds of loving service are not a substitute for, but rather a verification of our faith in Christ. It's why we do what we do. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. What steps of faith are we taking? Our faith in God grows as we fellowship with God. Our faith in God grows as we step out, as we put our trust in Him, as faith becomes a reality in our life. We are called to be children and people of faith, not afraid to step out in faith. But we have to have both the desire to please Him and the diligence to seek Him. Prayer, meditating on the Word, worship, and discipline. All of these things help us in our walk with God. You got to be in the Word. You got to read God's Word. You got to read it. You got to spend time worshiping the Lord. We got to spend time. We've got to be disciplined. How many of you understand this? It's been my experience that many churches are full of people that are waiting for something to happen. They're waiting for something to happen, but God's looking for somebody that's willing to move. He's looking for somebody that's willing, at best, to go out and make something happen. Faith doesn't always shout. Sometimes it just whispers. And Jonathan says to his armor bearer, "Let's go see what God might do. What do you got to lose? Let's go see what God might do." How many of you recognize this morning you don't have to be in charge? You don't have to be in charge to be used by God. Hello. You don't have to be in charge to be used by God. Verse 6 says, "For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few." And the reality is, this is kind of the core of the whole passage. See, Jonathan is a young man. He's a man of faith. He doesn't trust in the numbers. How many of you know a lot of times we get wrapped up in the numbers of things? Is there enough? Do we have enough of this? Do we have enough people? Jonathan doesn't trust the numbers. Jonathan doesn't even trust the weapons. He doesn't even trust in weapons. He doesn't even trust in his position. What does he trust in? He trusts in the character of God. He knows who God is. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." Romans 8 and 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Remember when David took out Goliath? It's a great story. Remember that David didn't take just one stone, he took five. Goliath had brothers. David was prepared ahead of time. If the brothers came, he had faith and trust that he would take them out too. He took him out. David didn't defeat Goliath because of the sling. Hear me? He didn't defeat Goliath because of a sling. He won and took Goliath out because he believed that God was bigger than the giant. Why did he believe that? Because God had already showed himself faithful time after time after time to David when he was out tending the sheep. He killed a bear and he killed a lion. The Bible talks about David is, he's not a man of stature. He's not a big guy. He's a small guy. Even when he's anointed to be the next king, he's not the biggest in the family. And usually those kinds of things go to the first son, the firstborn. But God said, no, I want the last one. David grabbed a bear by the face and punched his lights out. That's awesome. I mean, I don't care how you read it, that's awesome. I mean, some people can go a whole lifetime without ever seeing it, but I saw a mountain lion this week in the woods. It was awesome. Except for right where I saw this mountain lion, I won't go into the details of it all, but I had to stop for an extended period of time right there to take care of some things. And this mountain lion, usually when you see a mountain lion, they're gone. Not this one. This one just hung around. Just hung around. I personally think it probably had just killed something and was there and was not in a real hurry to leave it. But as I had to get out of my truck and do some work around there, I don't have any hair back there, but if I had hair on the back of my neck, it would have stood up. But I was nervous because that cat didn't run off. It stayed right there. It never ran. It just walked around. And David wasn't afraid. He just grabbed this bear and just punched his lights out. It's amazing. He believed that God was bigger than this giant. I want to tell you this morning that God is not intimidated by your lack. God is not intimidated by your lack. And he doesn't need your strength either. What he needs is your surrender. He needs our surrender. Because, listen, faith always steps out without a guarantee. Think about that for just a minute. Faith always steps out without a guarantee. 1 Samuel 14, verses 8 through 10 says, Jonathan said, very well, let us cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say thus, come up to us, then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us. Jonathan proposes a test, not in any way to manipulate God, but to discern his leading, to discern his direction, to discern what it is that God is really going to do. If they say thus, then we'll stand still. And if they say thus, then we'll go up. See, faith isn't reckless. Faith isn't name it and claim it and blab it and grab it. Faith isn't reckless, but it does move forward when God gives clarity. Hello? When God gives clarity. Psalm 37 and verse 23 says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delights in his way. God will order your steps. The interesting thing is, however, you got to be taking some steps for God to direct them. Hello? When Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on water, it required him to step out of the boat before he knew that it was going to work. Jesus didn't say to Peter, "It's okay, get out of the boat, it's going to be fine. I've made it so that you can walk on the water." He didn't say that. He said, "Come." That's all he got. Faith doesn't wait for all the details. Faith doesn't wait for all the details. In fact, God often reveals the next step, but very rarely does he ever give you the whole map. Think about that. Very rarely does he ever reveal the whole map. In 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 7, it says, "So the armor bearer said to him, 'Do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you according to your heart.'" Every great move of God begins and involves someone that says, "I'm with you. I got your back. I'm whatever you decide to do, I'm here for you. I'm with you. I'm hear me, you might not be the leader, but your faith can strengthen someone else's obedience. Jesus sent the disciples out two by two. Why? So that one could encourage the other one. How many of you know there's just something about having someone with you when you go to take on a task? The return of the labor is greater when there's two instead of just one. So ask yourself this morning, who are you encouraging in their faith? Who are you supporting in their faith? Are you a faith builder or are you a faith doubter? Are you a faith builder or a faith doubter? God uses willing partners, not perfect people. It might not look all that good on the surface, but what God does behind the scenes is what matters. And in the final few verses in our text, in a nutshell, Jonathan and his armor bearer climbs up on their hands and feet. They're vulnerable, they're exposed, and they're dependent. It took them a while, I think, to climb up that rocky cliff. I think retreat would have been difficult at best. They put themselves literally between a rock and a hard spot. If God doesn't show up, if God doesn't come through, if God doesn't do something, they're in real trouble. They're vulnerable, they're exposed, and then God steps in. God steps in. Verse 23, "So the Lord brought about a great victory that day." Well, what happens? I'll tell you what happens. The ground shakes. The ground shakes. The enemy goes into panic mode. And then God takes this small act of faith and turns it into a supernatural victory for his glory. See, it wasn't Saul and his army that won the battle. It was the Lord that used Jonathan and his armor bearer. Jonathan said, "Listen, this is what I think we ought to do." And his armor bearer said, "Let's do it." who are you willing to say, let's do it with? Or who are you willing to say, hey, I'm not sure how this is going to work out, but I'm with you. I'm going with you. The Lord used Jonathan and this armor bearer, and the Israelite army followed the Philistines for the next 15 miles from Michmash to Beth Avon, and the Lord enabled them to defeat the enemy. Remember back in the beginning, they were limited, they were few in number, they were discouraged. Saul's hiding out under a pomegranate tree, but because of one man's step of faith, it encouraged the entire army of the children of Israel, and they won a great victory. They won a great victory. If you go back and read Joshua chapter 6, and you begin to read the story of Jericho, the walls fell after the steps of obedience. See, the miracle came after they obeyed. It had to be the strangest battle plan known to man. What's the plan? The plan is we're going to walk around the walls every day, not going to say a word. We're just going to walk around them. Well, that's a great plan. The strategists are going, I don't know about all this. But Joshua said, we're going to do it. We're going to walk in obedience. And on the last day, they walked around it multiple times and they shouted. And what happened? Just exactly what they said, the walls. Why did it happen? It happened because they were obedient. It happened because they did what they were told to do. And the miracle for Peter didn't come until after he stepped out of the boat. It happened after he stepped out of the boat. I said this last week in regards to Peter when he started to sink. Peter didn't reach back for the boat. He reached for Jesus. See, God rarely blesses those that are hiding out sitting under the tree, playing it safe. But he most often blesses those that are climbing the hill or those that are stepping out of the boat in faith. Somebody that's saying, hey, you got a plan? I'll go with you. You want to lay hands on somebody and believe God for a miracle? I'll believe with you. You want to do this, that, and the other thing? I'll do it with you. He's looking for somebody. God responds when faith begins to move. One step of obedience can impact many, many lives. Many lives. Jonathan's story reminds us of three things. Kathy, you and John can come. Three things. Number one, God doesn't need a crowd. I'm glad that you're here today. I'm glad we have a crowd in this place, but God doesn't need a crowd. God doesn't even need the conditions to be perfect. What God needs is faith that trusts Him completely. Have you got things in your life right now that are fearful? There are questionable things that you maybe don't have the answer to. Somebody might need to hear this today, but nothing restrains the Lord. Nothing restrains the Lord. Nothing can hold Him back. He is all powerful. He's almighty. He's all knowing. He is omnipotent. He's everywhere all the time, all at the same time. Nothing restrains the Lord. He's not controlled by your watch. He's not controlled by the calendar. He's not controlled by our doubt. To those who are believers this morning, let me ask you this question. What steps of faith have you been delaying? What steps of faith have you not been taking? You're waiting. To the unsaved this morning, to those that might be here today and not know whether they're saved or not saved, the very same God that saved the children of Israel on that day is still saving lives today through Jesus Christ, His Son. Nothing can restrain the Lord. See, God said in His Word, I'm not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's the plan for today. That's why He's here. That's why you're here. That's why we're broadcasting around the world, because God still saves today. And He's looking to save you. He's looking to build your faith. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Nothing added to that. You just call on the name of the Lord. You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised Him from the dead and that today He's seated at the right hand of God and He's making intercession on your behalf and mine. Bow your heads with me this morning, would you? Let me ask you, is there any doubt in your heart or in your mind about whether or not you're saved? About whether or not you make heaven your home? That can all be cleared up this morning. God has provided everything that we need to make heaven our home. He's provided it all. The sacrifice, the power, everything. It's all found in His Son, Jesus. This morning, if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus, but I would like to. I want to make sure that I make heaven my home. If that's you today, I want you to know He loves you, that He died for you, that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. He's asking you today to take a step of faith. Raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I need Jesus. If that's you, raise your hand. I see your hand. You can put it down. Somebody else, say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you accepted the Lord at some point in your life, but you walked away from Him. And you don't even maybe know how that happened, but morning you recognize that you're not where you need to be. And today He's saying to you, if you'll just come back, if you'll just repent, if you'll just ask me one more time to come into your life, I will. If you'll ask me one more time to forgive you, I will. You'll ask me one more time to save you, I will. That's God's favorite thing to say, is I will. He wants to populate heaven. Remember, He's not willing that any would perish, not his plan. Does that mean everybody's going to make heaven? No, it doesn't. But those that don't make heaven their home are outside of the will of God. Because God's will is that we would all be saved. The price that he paid covered everybody. So this morning, if that's you and you say, Pastor, I gotta repent again. I wanna come again. If that's you, raise your hand, I'll pray with you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, I see your hand. Somebody else, Pastor, that yes, sir, I see your hand. Somebody else today. Not willing to leave here today without knowing for sure that I'm gonna make heaven. You raised your hand, I'm gonna ask you to get up and come. Come to the front right here, be with me. Come on. Come on, man. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Look at what God's doing. God is doing great things, church. Hey, buddy. Listen. Here's the thing. I've seen every one of you in the altar before. We've prayed this prayer over and over. But you know the greatest thing? Is that you're still here. You're still doing it. You're still praying. You're still believing that God is going to make a way. I believe he is. I absolutely believe it. I don't believe you're here by accident. I believe God has a purpose and a plan for all the things that you're going through to build you up and to strengthen you and make you stronger into the man that God wants you to be. Amen? So pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord, I thank you that there's an altar that I can come to and lay my stuff down and ask you once again to forgive me, to write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Strengthen me, encourage me, help me to be who you want me to be from this day forward. And I'll serve you all the days of my life. Bind the enemy. Help me to stay strong for you, to stay redeemed, forgiven, and active by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. God bless you guys. Don't run off. These guys want to minister to you. If anybody needs hands laid on them, come on up. God will, these guys want to pray with you. Let these guys pray.